Les, it's good to see you. Now, for the Order My Steps, as a request came in for the name of Jesus, it's an excellent topic. It's something we do need to talk about and understand. Now, I think all of us have used passwords and pins for certain things and access, you know, to access something. In order for that access or password to work, it has to be done in a certain way, correct? It has to be done in the right way, actually. And that's the same thing when it comes to Jesus' name. I think we've conveniently used it incorrectly and sometimes to our fault. It ends up hurting us because we think it's working and it's not, or it's not working the way we think, and things go in the wrong way. Hold on for 1 second. My earpiece, which has become a... I'm going to use the mic. Am I good? Praise God. All right. So we have the power in Jesus' name, and there is a lot of power that we have access to. But how does that work? And this is what I'm hoping by the end of this we get a handle on what that means and how that works in our lives. So if you turn your bulletins over, and I have with the title Matthew 1:21, because Jesus' name was specifically given to him by God the Father, and it means Jesus will save us from our sins, okay? Or Jehovah's salvation is salvation. So in that, salvation is the whole purpose of Jesus. It's for our salvation, okay, which is a lifestyle when you look at it. So first of all, the power of Jesus' name is much more than we can imagine, believe it or not. Much more than what we can imagine. This is in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Did y'all get that? And he gave him a name that's above every... There is no other name that is more powerful than the name of Jesus. Okay, so there's a lot of power in it. And it says, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So all of this glorifies God, but there is much more emphasis on how powerful his name is. But once again, how is it used? Because you have some people use it almost like a magical word to fit their own way of life, like abracadabra. They say, in Jesus' name, and then they'll throw something out there thinking that's what's going to fix it. But that's not how it works. But we also have to revere it and be very careful with it. Understand the reason why his name is so powerful is he's the only path to God. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? This is extremely narrow. In fact, it's the only answer. He was like, the only access to God is through him. So there's power in the name because of what he represents and the path that he offers. And when he says the way, that means it's the only path to get there. The truth, he is by far the only answer. And the life, he is how we're supposed to be living in every act of the way. Also, we are to do everything in Jesus' name. Now, when you hear the in Jesus' name, if you want to make it so it's easier for you to understand, say based on. Everybody say based on. Okay, so if you were to say, when it says in Jesus, if you say based on Jesus, then it'll be something based on how he conducted, how he shows it, how he gives an example, what he commands. So we are to do everything in Jesus' name. That's why in Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all. And what does all include? Everything. So I have to do everything that I'm doing. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do y'all get this? So everything I do must be based on. The problem is, you hear me saying this, I'm adding emphasis, because we may do some things, but we don't do everything. And this is what messes us up. You know, we call ourselves Christians, but we have our ideologies over here. We have our own ways of thinking of things. We have our own traditions. We have our own emotions and all that other stuff. And we'll do some things in Jesus' name, while he clearly says everything. We're supposed to do it all. And like I said, whatever you do, whether in word, whatever you're saying, whatever you do, you should be able to say, this is what the Bible says, and this is why I'm doing it. Not some excuse that we give off, well, I feel or I think or even blaming it on a, like you and God have some sort of special agreement that you can do it and they can't. It's going to be based on him that everybody will be in agreement and understanding of, because if we're in understanding or in agreement of Christ, and that's how it should be. It is very necessary to truly be in his name, and the key word, truly be in his name. It says in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And plainly he's telling them, no, you did not. It was not in my name. I did not know you. Do y'all get this? So it wasn't done based on him. Because if it's based on him, we would do things exactly the way the Bible says. Because remember, he is the word. Okay? And we'd follow it that way. So why do we see people deviating in these different ways? What's fitting what he says here? We're not truly doing it in his name. We're adding his name to what we're doing. Big difference. Okay, if I'm doing it in his name, I just do it, and it'll represent everything that the Bible says. But when I just add his name to what I'm doing, it does absolutely nothing to that something. But that's what we're taught to do. That's why people do some crazy things, and they say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to, and then we'll throw something in there once again, and not realizing you're incorrectly using that name. And because we incorrectly use that name, we're showing a lack of reverence, which we should be showing in every way. We need to treat his name with reverence it deserves. Acts 19:17-18, this was after, we're going to hear a story concerning his name. Before I get to that story, this happened to the people, and they had to see this drastic thing happen before they showed this reverence. In Acts 19:17-18, he says, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. In other words, something drastic had to happen, and I'll show you what that is in a little bit, for them to recognize, well, wait a minute, we need to be very careful with the name of Jesus. Remember, his one thing that represented his name is the Ark of the Covenant. You see how that is? And when something was done wrong, and wrong is based on him, then things terrible happened. Uzzah died because he touched the ark. Now, we can talk about the circumstances, and all of us would reason God wouldn't let that happen because we know he meant well, and you'll hear people give all these emotional reasons. Well, the answer was, reverence was, don't touch it. Same thing with Jesus' name. We'll be very careful how we use Jesus' name, when we use Jesus' name. Amen? We will get a clear understanding of it and not just frivolously use it, which is done today. People just say it, they say it anyway, you know, and I think especially because we're Christian, we think we can say it, and God's okay because I'm a Christian, and I mean it, I'm saying his name. And not holding it in high regard and realizing that it's a very important part of our lives. Now, let's look at the power. There is definitely supernatural power in the name of Jesus. Okay, by far. And the most important part, he gives us access to the Holy Spirit. It says in John 14:26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, watch this, in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So for me to do it based on Jesus, he gives me him inside of me to help me keeping it based on Jesus. Do y'all get this? Based on him. In other words, he said, the Holy Spirit comes in his name so we can do it the way we're supposed to. And this is why we're supposed to be spiritual. Dangerous for us to be all the other things because that makes us be a part of it. But when I lean solely on his spirit, which is going to be solely based on his word, that's why we got to test the spirit to make sure it's not my spirit. You know what I mean? So the Holy Spirit is the most powerful part of that. And that's what makes it so important for us to have this. But there many other forms of supernatural things that are going to happen displayed in Jesus' name. Look what he says in Mark 16:17-18. He says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will. So now you're going to see some things. He's not saying everybody's going to be able to do all of these things. What he's saying is you're going to see those who are in my name, these supernatural things happening. First of all, driving out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poisons. It will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now, just to show you how sometimes we can do this stuff ignorantly, there's one in Pennsylvania, and I think there's a couple throughout the United States. There are those snake churches. You ever hear about them? They'll get deadly snakes, and they'll pick them up during the ministry, and they'll use this verse as their thing. And not putting out there, many people have lost limbs, and many of them have died. I don't know how that's ministering Christ, because they're doing it incorrectly. Do you understand that? They're doing it in a way of testing him and doing it in a way instead of proving him. Now, if God told him to do that, that's one thing. But if God told him to do that, it would be consistent. It wouldn't be this craziness that they do in which they're just following a pattern or whatever. Okay? He's saying this will follow. He didn't say it's something that's going to happen in the way that they want. So keep that in mind. Okay? So these are the supernatural things that happen. But there are other basic ways we display the power of Jesus' name. These are once again things done based on Jesus. Look at a few. How we are to receive children. Matthew 18:5 says, and whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Now, as small as that statement is, there's power in that statement. Because if I receive a child based on how the world says I'm supposed to receive a child, I didn't do this. Did y'all catch that? Okay, if I receive them based, like you have a lot of clubs and stuff like that for children, and they're great in a worldly way, spiritually they're doing absolutely nothing. You understand? It has to be based on him. And he's saying, if you do it in my name, then you welcome me. In other words, the whole way I'm doing it is fully based on Christ. That's when it's significant and really works. Power in the unity of Christians when it's done in his name. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Many used to take this as, I'm coming together, now we're going to ask Jesus to come in because we got three people. You know what I mean? No. It means you're coming together based on him. Does that make sense? When you come together and you're all based on how he's saying it. Now, I hate to say this. A lot of times Christians aren't doing that today because, like I said, we've distorted Christianity. We've made it what we wanted it to be and not made what he said. He gives a definite understanding of it. Why do you come to get the word? To get an understanding of the word. So that means I'm getting together with other people who have understanding of the word. Now the three of us, two or three of us get together, we welcome him. Because why? We're doing it based on him. Does that make sense? We're following him, and it's all based on him. We're not going to go away from him. We're not going to add to it. Not people who call themselves Christians who get together in what they have alike. The reason why church is so split up today is we didn't get together in his name. We're getting together in what we in our ideas. In other words, I may feel a certain way, so I get together a whole bunch of people that feel the way I do. You may feel a certain way. You get together a bunch of people that feel the same way you do. That's not his name. That's my desires. You see the difference there? And you're going to have desires, and you're going to have different views and different things, and you got to be careful that that's not the thing that's uniting you, because that really starts dividing. Also, the name holds us responsible. It says in Mark 9:39-41, do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. So there's even a restriction in there. If somebody's really doing something in his name, they cannot then turn on him. You understand that, okay, in that same moment. It goes on and says, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. So if I do things, it still has to be based on him. Can I give somebody a glass of water without doing it in his name? The answer is absolutely. And that's the key. You have to understand, everything has to be based on him. I have to be that precise in which am I doing this? Is it based on him? God doesn't just look at good deeds. Remember we did the order of my steps. God is what makes deeds good. Okay? So in understanding that, I can do something that the world may deem good, but without Christ, meaningless. In fact, it's even evil. It can cause more damage without him. Does that make sense? Okay? So if I'm offering the water and it's based on anything else other than him, man, I can open up doors to dangers. This is why we must do everything based on him. Okay? And then he also shows keeping us in agreement. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Okay, and this is why he starts off, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another. Let me stop there for a minute, because this is not being done at all today. Okay, you're very serious. We're looking for people that are in agreement with us. That's not what it says. It's saying that we be in agreement. Now, what it's not also saying is I go find somebody and take their agreement. No, didn't say that either. All right, it's saying we all be in the agreement if you think the agreement is Christ. So we need to readjust what's separating us. And you'd be surprised. There are going to be some legitimate things that we feel strong about, but it has nothing to do with Christ. And with Christ, we'll learn how to deal or even do without. As Paul said, if eating meat causes my brother to fall, I'll never eat meat again. He's basically saying, I will deny myself of something that I'm fully allowed to have if it's causing a stumbling block for you. Not, I'm going to go find a group of people that can eat meat and won't give me a hard time. And that's what we usually do. We usually go, you know what? If you don't believe in me eating meat, I'll go find somebody that'll do it. And we make it about us instead of realizing, you know what? It's about Christ. And we have to be in agreement. So me eating meat is causing disagreement. You know what? I'll stop. And that's huge. But that's spiritual. And that's us relying on his name. That's power in his name when we really look at it that way. And we follow commands based on him. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother that who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. Now, this is one of many of the smaller commands. Once I can show you that he shows us clearly comes from Christ, we don't do. You understand? I'll hear other people go, no, I think if I'm around him, I'll rub off on him. No, I think if I minister in this way, I'll do this. We're basically telling Christ, We hear yours, but we have better ways. Okay? And we may laugh at this, but I hate to say it, majority don't follow this. And this is one of many of those smaller verses that you see that he basically says, do this. And we're like, all right, maybe I will, but I'm going to try this first. Because he made it very clear. If they're idle, avoid them. Do y'all get this? Plain and clear. When I hear Christ say that, the power in his name would be me go, oh, he gave me the answer. Amen. But you still hear Christians, we bring in our intellect and go, but I think if I would just, and I really see a change, and you'll hear people talking that way, and they're basically saying to Christ, yeah, I got you, but I got something better. We're denying his name. There's no power in his name. When I go do it my way, then how am I not looking at his name? When I clearly get an answer in his name. And this is just one, because like I said, there are many of them. If you go through the Bible, which he'll give us some basic things that we look at and we go, oh, that's going to be tough to do. But this is easier, and we'll do other things. So that's power in his name, but we don't get to experience it because we're not doing it. And then there's power in prayers based on his name. John 14, 12 through 14 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask, here we go, in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I'm sure how people mix this up. When they say, you can ask for anything in my name, they'll go, give me a brand new car in Jesus' name. And they're like, what's going on? Right? They're, how come I didn't get the brand new car? What's going on? I'm struggling. Or they'll get it in some means and say, well, I got it from Jesus because he told me to ask for anything in my name. It doesn't mean I just add his name to the end of it. Do y'all get this? It doesn't mean I'm doing it based on him. You ask for me anything based on me, he will do it. And as a Christian grows and you get to know him and you understand this all comes down to relationship. Does that make sense? Under relationship, you'll know certain people. And when somebody came to you and said somebody you knew really good told you something, you'll go, no, they didn't do that. Because you know them. I know they wouldn't say that. Have you ever ran into that? Where they told, and you knew clearly, yeah, I know you're lying because I know they wouldn't do that. That's the relationship we're supposed to have with Christ. And this is why relationship with him is so necessary, so I can do and ask things in his name. This is not about how I have access to whatever I want. This is how I have the correct access. Does that make sense? So we see all this way of how his name is added. So in order for it to happen, we must know Jesus to know the name. So how do we know Jesus? Let me break it down. First of all, our complete supply to everything we need in life comes through our relationship with Christ. Now, this verse that we hear of what he gives us, what some people miss is the access to what he gives us. Okay, look, watch this. He says in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, if I stop there, you're like, I got everything I need, and I'm going to go out and live. It's like me giving you a box, and I say, this box gives you everything you need, and you take the box and you leave. The problem is, it's locked, and you can't get in it. What do you need? The key. Now, you have everything you need in that box? Yes. Do you have that box? Yes. I mean, you have everything you need, but it's worthless to you when you don't have access to it. That's where the next verse comes in, through our knowledge of him. Did y'all catch that? Okay. So in other words, I'll benefit from it through my relationship with him. So I have all this access, but I have no idea how to use it. So not only does it give me the key to get me into it, it gives me instruction on how to use it, when to use it, everything. But that's my relationship with Christ. So the everything you need, you have. Just don't know how to access it and how to use it because there's no relationship. It says through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So the more I grow in him, the more I get to know him, the more I understand, man, I already had this here with me. Wait, I can deal with anything and stop turning it based on me. Because we want him to call to us and give us. You know, when a baby cries, they want what they want. Parent is supposed to give them what they're supposed to have, not what they want. That's why we're destroying our kids, because we raise them based on their desires, not based on God. God gives you everything you want? Absolutely not. And he knows that, because that's what destroys us. You understand that? So understand. So everything we have access through our knowledge of him. Part of what makes us Christians is denying ourselves for Jesus. So in order to know him, I got to get rid of me. All right. Another thing that we struggle on doing. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must. Everybody say must. Okay, so this is a requirement. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The must part, I think some of us take it as a suggestion, or some of us use it in certain parts of our life. Some of us will pat ourselves on the back because there's certain parts of your life you denied yourself. Certain parts. And that's not what this says. You must deny yourselves means you. I must let go of me. You know how many times I've heard Christians do stuff they weren't supposed to do. When you ask why they do it, their answer was, because I wanted to. Well, I wanted it. And they'll say it almost in a way of me going, oh, okay, I get it. You understand that? Instead of realizing, so you allowed you to go before God. Is that what you're saying? You know, and that's what we end up doing. We allow us to go ahead of him. But he says, in order for this to work, you got to deny you. And this is how I know emotions are not a compass. Use emotions as a thermometer. Difference. Remember, a compass is, it's going to let me know where I need to go. You know, where what direction I am for I need to go. That's wrong. So I'm not using it as direction or a GPS. You know, I mean, your emotions can't be a GPS saying go here and go there. Your emotions has to be, oh, my temperature today is high, so I need to get it back to this point. Or it's low, so I need to get it back. You always have the same point, which is Jesus. So if I feel a certain way and it's not in line with Jesus, I need to get back in line with Jesus. Y'all see how that works? Not because I'm feeling this way, God, you need to come up to my temperature and work with me. And that's what we tend to do. If I deny myself, I'm always looking to him. And I know when I'm away from him, because everything's based on him, not how I feel. He goes on to say, for whoever wants to save his life, and I should have put the will in capital, will lose it. That's a God promise. So if you're living to save your life based on you, you're going to lose it. He's letting you know. Absolutely nobody will succeed in this. What does that mean? People are living to get the most out of life, but one day you're going to die. Y'all get this? So if you're saying, I just want a momentary whatever, okay, then maybe you'll achieve that. But no, most people think I'm going to get it and get the best of both worlds and have my cake and eat it too. And he's letting everybody know it's not going to happen. In fact, you're going to lose it. You know what I'm saying? He's saying, this is definitely what's going to happen. You will lose it. He says, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. So not somebody who's just not living their life, not doing what they're supposed to. He's not talking about somebody who loses his life or somebody even goes out and takes away their life. He's talking about when I give up things that I normally would do for me and I do it for him. There's something I would have rather have done, but I did what he told me instead. Instead of me waking up looking at what would make me happy, I always look at what will glorify him. That's what he's saying. In other words, my main and only focus in life is pleasing him, even when it doesn't please me. Y'all get that? Okay, that's when you glorify him. He says he lose. That's why he says loses his life, because you'll see certain opportunities, certain things you could have gotten into, certain relationships you could have gotten into, certain things, jobs you could have taken, that if you would have taken it, it would have fulfilled you as far as you're concerned. You would have been happy, but you know, I can't take this because it goes against Christ. So I'm sorry, the answer is no. That's exactly how it would have worked out. No, but do we do that? Or do we still go for it and go, in Jesus' name, this is going to work? He says, and to love one another as he commanded us. Now, understanding as he commanded doesn't just mean love one another because he said so. We have to do it as he said so. So there's instruction on how I'm supposed to love you. You know, like that verse that says, if you see a brother that's idle, to avoid him, that's me loving you. When I do anything else, I'm not. When it tells the parents to discipline their children and they don't do it. Remember, there's a verse that makes it clear those who do not discipline them hate their child. Y'all remember that? I mean, it hurts when you hear that, because you're like, no, but I, and we want to go off in the emotional field. And he's like, no, if you don't do this, then you don't. I don't care what you feel you're doing. I'm telling you what you're not doing. So we have to do it as he commands. Those who obey his commands live in him. So he's giving us a hint here. The way we know him, wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And I put the other two verses because we see it in the other Gospels as well. In other words, there's nothing you could do to truly save your life. He already gave you the answer. People are still trying to do it. We're still trying to get the best and the most comfortable and whatever and still be Christians. And we've distorted ministries on that. And it doesn't work that way. He gave you the only way. Deny yourself in order to know him. And then we have to listen and believe Christ is having a relationship with Christ. So we're listening and believing him is having a true relationship with him. John 10, 26, 27 says, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, as brief as that is, you can see that in a lot of people today, because there are verses that are very clear in the Bible. Like when people counsel with me, it's not because I'm some great counselor. I have a lot of counseling and I'm brilliant and books. No. I just know the word. So I give you the word. You don't receive the word, you're not listening to Christ. Did y'all catch that? See, and this is the problem. We struggle with what Christ says, but when I don't listen to him, he's saying, then you're not my sheep. True relationship is, I just want to hear what you have to say. The demand from me is not for you to come to church for me to make you feel better or to encourage you in you. It's for me to give you what he says. If you follow it, then you believe in him and you're having a relationship. If you don't, you're not. He says, you don't listen to me because you're not my sheep. Do you get where I'm coming from? You go to church to hear his word. All these other things that we added into church have been things to cater to us. And dangerously, it hurt us. Instead of it being, I go to receive his word. Pastor, make sure you give me his word. Do y'all get this? All right. And that should be something we demand that we get from him all the time, from us, you know, from anybody preaching. And he's saying a person doesn't believe because you are not my sheep. So true relationship are those, I need to hear what you have to say, even those things I may not want to hear because I know they're right. I know you are the truth. And if we live by observing Christ, obeying Christ and imitating him is a relationship. Do you understand? So if we live by obeying Christ and imitating him is relationship. That's going to show our relationship by us doing what he says. 1 John 3, 23 through 24 says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. So what it means to believe, remember, is I hear it, believe in it by applying it. Okay, so I'm going to do it his way. I'm looking to find out his way. I'm searching his way in order for me to apply his way. Everything about my life is going to be his way. So even if I did 100% what he said and everybody else seemed like they turned out better, what do I do next time? I still do what he says. Where we've messed up is we've given people do it his way and watch what happens. That's called walking by sight. All right. If I tell you, do it his way and watch what happens. That's why you have a lot of people that are disappointed, because it didn't turn out to the way they desired or the way they wanted. But by faith, when I do what he tells me and I just do what he tells me, that's by faith. That's me trusting that whatever happened was for the best. It was the best thing that happened. It says, and to love one another as he commanded. We saw that and I read that too early, but to explain that. And also verse 24, those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. Okay, so we understand that he gave us the spirit to live in his name. He gave us the instructions to live in his name and for us to live, to obey everything he says. So I come here to get to know what he says so I can do it. And all of this will allow me to grow and know him. Amen? Very, very important for us to know. So in a nutshell, we must live in his name. And that's just a commandment. So where Jesus' name really works in our lives is not me just applying it as some magic trick. It's me looking for where it is and living in it. And that's why it says in 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours. He goes on to say, and every act prompted by your faith, showing two things. When I do things that are good, and only God is good, and when I do things based on faith only. So he's adding, when I live and these are the main things that are happening, that God is working through that. That's his prayer. And we pray that so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. See, Christ's name should be what we live, should be what we display, should be everything we do. He says, and you in him according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus' name isn't something that I just apply when it's convenient or it's a magic trick to get me what I want. It's a lifestyle. It's a power that we live in that we should always have and continually display. Now, one thing I didn't have, and I remembered, I want to add this because I told you it was going to be in this. The main reason the people were fearful in that verse where I said we're going to show it, I had it in this, but I removed it. Do you remember the sons of Sceva? That's where the story comes from. And they went and they basically went after the demon, the man possessed by the demon, saying, in the name of Jesus that Paul talked about, we command you to come out. And that's when the demon said, well, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you? And then he beat them down naked and bloody. And when people saw that, they were like, wait a minute. So we're using the name incorrectly. So that's where it comes to. Please understand, Jesus' name is just not something you use willy-nilly and you just throw out there. It's something you revere, you grow in, you understand. And then it becomes a lifestyle that I live in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. As the word says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out, talk to our Father, and we want to pray in Jesus' name. Remember, he says, whatever you ask for in my name. So we want to make sure we're in his name. We're in what is right. We're going in the right way. So we should take that time out to talk to him. Always think of others in your prayer. Hopefully you're praying for others continually. Even those that aren't always knowingly going through something, pray for others when you're not sure. Just put them in God's hands. Amen. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you catch up with me or one of the deacons after services. We'd be more than glad to pray with you. And as we should always do as an example to our children and along with our children, is pray continually. Amen? Prayer and meditation.